Our scripture for today is from the Gospel of John, verses 29 to 42. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, and he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize him with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translate means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated as Peter. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Several years ago, actually almost like a decade ago, I took a group of high school youth to a weekend youth conference. And during the opening worship service, the teenagers who were leading that worship service performed a liturgical dance or a skit. It was kind of a combination of both a dance and a skit together, that it was just simply amazing. It's so great that I can still remember it to this day. And the skit was set to the song called Everything by Lifehouse, which is a contemporary Christian band. And during the performance, the youth, it was an auditorium that was packed. I mean, there was at least about 500 or so kids there. The youth were completely silent. They were mesmerized by what they saw. And I wish I could transport you back in time to actually show you what they saw, but I'm going to tell you what they saw. It's not quite as, you know, profound by my words. But it began with one high school youth playing the part of God. He came out onto the stage. It was completely dark. There was just this one person on stage, and he began to pretend like he was molding and creating a person. And then as he brought that person to life, another person who was kind of lying on the stage stood up, they began to dance together. It was just a simple dance, the two of them gliding across the stage to the beat of the music, and they did that for a little bit. But then all of these other things, these other gods with a little G, came out on the stage one at a time, trying to dance with her and beginning to distract her and getting her further and further out of rhythm from dancing with God. First, there was a boyfriend who came out and started dancing with her, and he took her away from God, and then he turned her around and hurt her and left her alone. Then two people came out on stage wearing signs, and one said fashion and one said popularity. And then there was someone who came out who had drugs and alcohol written on their signs, and they began to pull and push and get her completely out of rhythm, and it lured her further and further away from the person of God who was standing on the side trying to dance. The next came someone who bore the sign saying money. And each of these lesser gods continued to pull and tug and trying to dance with her and getting her to dance their different dances, and you could tell that she was confused. Then they joined hands and made a circle around her and blocked her from God. And she didn't know which way to turn. But through it all, God was still on that stage reaching out to her, trying to get to her. And then in the grand finale of the dance, God pushed forward and swept away all of the imposter gods and reclaimed her, and she came and began to dance with God again, back to the simple dance that they were dancing in the beginning. After worship was done, and there was a lot more to worship than that, but when there was a keynote speaker and lots of other things, and when our time at worship was done, we all went to little rooms around the conference center and had our small group time. And when we were talking in our small group time about how worship, what the kids learned during worship, they were all focused on that one skit from the very beginning of the service. More than the keynote speaker, that skit spoke to them. More than any other part of the worship service, that skit is what reached them and what stood out for them, because they could see themselves in it. They could see themselves as the person created by God, yet constantly pulled away by distractions, by all of the other things in their lives, like boyfriends and girlfriends, money, peer pressure, drugs, alcohol. They shared with the group their own personal stories of the things that pulled them away from God and Jesus. Those youth knew that these things compete for their attention and try to keep them away from God. The comfort they received from the skit is the knowledge that God was always there, always reaching out, always striving to be in relationship. God is there. Jesus is there. Now, one of the things that I like about John's gospel that we heard today is that we don't have to guess about the identity of Jesus, and neither do the disciples, if they're paying any attention. Unlike the other three gospels who hint about Jesus' identity, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke kind of play it coy with the readers, and the disciples are never clearly sure who Jesus is when you read those gospels. They're always wondering, who is this guy? And the people are always thinking, who is this man? But with the gospel of John, he's really straightforward for us. He tells us pretty pointedly who Jesus is. In today's text, John the Baptist proclaims very forwardly, here is the Lamb of God. You can't get any more direct than that. He tells us about what happened when he baptized Jesus. We know that John saw the Spirit descending from heaven and remaining on Jesus. We know that John the Baptist considers Jesus to be greater than himself. And then he encourages his own disciples. He encourages them to leave him and to start following Jesus. That's not something you often hear or see in the world, where one leader turns to those following him and says, hey, I can't even touch the hem of the garment on this man. You should go follow him. Don't follow me. But one of these disciples is Andrew. You know Andrew. He's the brother of Peter. We always hear more about Peter. I'm pretty sure that Andrew is that younger brother of Peter, the one that the teachers always said, oh, you're Peter's brother. Yeah. So Peter's the one who we hear about the most. We hear about how Peter tried to walk on water, the one who always knew the answers to Jesus' question, the one who denied Jesus on the night of his crucifixion, and the one who raced off to the tomb on Easter morning when he heard about the women's news. Peter may have been the rock on which Jesus built the church, but according to the Gospel of John, without Andrew, Peter might not have even met Jesus. So Andrew and another disciple leave John the Baptist, and they start following Jesus. When Jesus realizes he's being followed, he turns and asks them, what are you looking for? Well, that's a pretty good question. What are you looking for? Are they looking for a leader, a teacher, a friend? And then they answer that question with a question, and one that's kind of peculiar. Rabbi, "Where are you staying?" That's really strange. He asks them, "What are you looking for?" And they turn around and ask him, "Well, where are you staying?" So basically, Andrew and his friends were telling Jesus with their question that they wanted to spend some time with him. They wanted to get to know him and to learn from him. And so Jesus answered their question with a simple statement, "Come and see." He says, "Come and see," which means come and sit with me, come and listen to my stories, come and see who my friends are, come and be a part of my circle. Here, Jesus is extending his arms out to these strangers and inviting them into his midst to be with him, to join him. Jesus is extending them open hospitality. We don't have a record of their conversation. We can imagine that they sat together, probably shared a simple meal with one another, and they probably talked about things like their families, their friends, and eventually their conversation turns from the get-to-know-you small talk to deeper questions about life, religion, and God. Since Andrew and his friend were hanging out with John the Baptist, it's safe to say that they were already seeking answers to their questions about God. They were following John the Baptist, one of the leaders, kind of a renegade leader of the church at that time. They wanted to know more about God. They were looking for something to fill a hole in their lives. And by following John, they found Jesus. There are so many people in today's world who are looking for something to fill a hole in their lives. Back in the 18th century, French philosopher Blaise Pascal talked about that hole, that we have within ourselves. He wrote, "There is a God-shaped hole in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator." I'm going to say that one more time because that really is profound. There's a God-shaped hole in the heart of every man, which in today's world would be every one of us, men, women, children, all of us, which cannot be filled by any created thing. No matter what we do, no matter how much we try to fill that hole, it can only be filled by God, the Creator. We can spend our whole lives trying to fill that hole, just like the girl in the skit in that worship service. We can turn to so many things that try to fill that hole, things that distract us from the one thing that can fill that hole. We might turn to drugs, sex, money, popularity, anything that can fill that hole. And while it may seem to fill that hole for a little while, it's not a perfect fit. And in the end, that hole is just as empty as it was in the beginning. There is only one item that will fit in and fill that hole that is in our hearts, and that is God. God is there, constantly reaching out to each of us, wanting to embrace us. God is there, ready to push away the demons that surround us. And God is there to protect us. But we have to be ready to open our own arms and our hearts to allow God into our lives. Andrew was ready for this. He was so ready to follow Jesus that he could not help but exude that excitement from all of his pores. And in the fashion of a good disciple, he immediately runs off to find his brother Peter. Andrew can feel that hole in his heart filling with the love of God, and he wants to share it. He wants Peter to feel that same kind of love. So he runs to his brother and he says, "We have found the Messiah." He then brings his brother to Jesus, and Jesus opens his arms and welcomes Peter as one of his disciples. As Peter, Andrew, and the other disciples spend time with Jesus, they begin to discover who they are, who God had created them to be. Yes, they were fishermen, but now they were followers of Christ. Now they follow the one who is called Emmanuel, God with us. They witness this fully human yet fully divine man preach, teach, and heal others. And it is in those acts that they are reminded that they too are created in the image of God. Peter and Andrew and all of us are created in the image of God. We are all children of God. Children of the one who constantly seeks to be in relationship with us. Children of the one who reaches out to us every day. We are children of a God who loves us, who cares for us, and who wants to help us. All we have to do is to be willing to venture out like Andrew and follow Jesus. If we open our hearts and our minds to the one that John calls the Lamb of God, then we too can be in relationship with him. And it is because of our relationship with the Lamb of God that we know God is with us. That we know that God is filling that hole in our hearts with love. And we know that God is calling us to be like Andrew, to go and to share that good news with others and bring them here so that they can learn about God. They can learn about the one who is always there to fill that hole in our hearts with love. Amen.